Right after Christmas, in each year, we dedicate some days to celebrate the sacrament of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning of incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God, the Almighty, came to our earth, incarnate and became man. So our Lord Jesus Christ is God in flesh. According to our belief, according to our faith, we do not believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is just a regular man. He is not just a regular human being. He is not only a man, he is God in flesh. And because of the incarnation, he is a perfect God and perfect man at the same time. This is our Christian Orthodox belief. Yes, we celebrate the incarnation. God became man. But sometimes, because we focus much after Christmas on Jesus' humanity, how he was born in a very humble circumstances as a poor person, as a human being, sometimes some people forgot about his divinity. That's why I would like today to confirm, to talk with you in brief about the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ as God in flesh. In the very, very ancient ages, even before the prophecies, a lot of philosophers were thinking about the human life, thinking deeply about the human life. And they analyzed a lot of things related to our life. They were thinking about our behavior as a human being, our relationship together, our dealings in every day of our daily life, our birth, our departure from this earth, where we are going after. And they were trying through their philosophy to find the analysis and the understanding for everything related to our life. But they could not find the solution or analysis for two main important issues. The first issue was, I'm going to go in brief. It's impossible for the human race to reach righteousness, to achieve righteousness in their earthly life. It's impossible. Except if God the Almighty himself came down from the heaven to the earth and show them how to find righteousness. They came to that conclusion concerning the issue of life of righteousness. Okay? Clear? That even before the prophets, even before the prophecies about the incarnation, they came to a conclusion that it's impossible for any human being to reach righteousness without God the Almighty himself to come to our earth and show us how to find the way to righteousness. And issue number two, through the effort, through the trials, through the a lot of things we are doing, we are trying to find a solution for each problem we have in our life. Like, for example, because in the ancient ages we realized that we have lack of energy. So the scientists started to work to find out how to find the other different sources of energy. And through their efforts, they found oil, for example. They invented electricity and so on. The human race realized that he is suffering from different diseases. And through their effort and trial to find a solution, they started to be to work in medicine, to find a solution for diseases, or to invent some new medicines. They came to the issue of the sin. The sin. And they could not find any solution on the earth for the sin. If I committed a sin, my nature became corrupted. I have the guilty feeling overwhelming me, either on the conscious level or unconscious. It's working inside me. And my sin is attached to me. They worked hard to find a solution how to cleanse the human being from the sin. But they could not find a solution on the earth for the sin. And they came to a conclusion. There is no solution for our sin. Except if God the Almighty, the Most Holy One, comes to our earth and redeem us from our sins. This is like a statement said by the philosophers very, very anciently, maybe thousands of years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, if you're going to read in the very ancient literature, you will find a lot of philosophers talking about the different nations, not only the Jewish people, but different nations were waiting for the Redeemer, the Savior. And they knew that the Savior must be the Most Holy One, the Almighty God, to come and save us and cleanse us and redeem us from our sins. That might give us a reflection about how the wise men knew about Jesus and came to visit him, because they had in their literature and history that the Most Holy, the Almighty God, will come, will incarnate, will be born as a human being to be our Savior. And that's why they came from far east to see Jesus as the King of Kings, as the incarnate God, as the Savior, as God in flesh. God himself announced it for us many, many times, many hundred years before his incarnation, that he will come and he will save us. The philosophers, very ancient philosophers, in addition to the prophets, when they were watching the behavior of the human nations and the human race on the earth, and they saw how people became very evil and destructive and sinful, and they realized that we will not be able to be corrected except if the Savior will come from above, from the heaven, to correct our life. That's why one of our wonderful prophets in the Old Testament, so when he watched the corruption and the destruction on the earth, he raised up his hands to God and he cried loudly to him and said, "I wish you open the heaven and come down to us. ليتك تشق السماوات وتنزل." And the answer came on the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 7, when God gave a promise and he said, "Behold, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel is not just a name, but Emmanuel is a meaning to refer to the identity of the child. Emmanuel means God with us. God among us. So when Jesus was born, He was God among us. Also in Isaiah chapter 9, a wonderful verse as prophecies about the incarnation of the Almighty God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Yes, he is a child. Yes, he is a son. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. يولد لنا ولد ونعتد وتكون الرياسة على كتفه ويدعى اسمه عجيبا مثيرا إلها قديرا أبا أبديا رئيس السلام. Isaiah the prophet is talking about whom? He's talking about the birth of Jesus. And he was talking about the birth of Jesus at least 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the New Testament manifested to us that the child whom gonna be born from the Virgin is not only a man. It's not a regular man. He is God in flesh. That's why in Luke chapter 1, when the angel was talking to St. Mary about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. I want you to just pay some attention with me. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I am asking, if Jesus is just a regular human being, why it was a must to be born from a virgin? For a virgin to conceive and carry a baby without marriage. And why she was in need for the Holy Spirit to come upon her, and for the power of the Most High One to overshadow her. Okay? Because Jesus is somebody very, very, very special. He is not like a regular prophet. He is not like a regular human being like all of us. He is very special. What was special about Jesus according to the statement of the angel? He said, so, what is meant by so in English? Teach me, please. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High One will overshadow you. So, what is meant by so? Huh? Tell me, teach me, please. Huh? We can say this is why, that is why. The Holy One, he's talking about Jesus himself, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So the angel is announcing that Jesus is not just a regular human being. Yes, he will be born as a human being, but he is not only a human being. He is the Holy One. And the Holy One is one of the characters and the titles of God Himself. So He is telling us that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And I think you understand clearly that there is a great difference between us to be called the sons of God and Jesus to be called the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God according to his essence and according to his nature, not just as he is a son of God through adoption like us. We are the sons of God because we were adopted through God's love. But Jesus is a son of God in his essence, in his being, in his nature. Luke chapter 1 verse 43. When St. Mary visited Elizabeth, Elizabeth was talking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And she said, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, while Jesus was still like a small baby inside St. Mary's womb?" She said, "I am so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me." So the Holy Spirit was talking on Elizabeth's tongue, manifesting, proclaiming that the baby inside Mary's womb is not a regular human being only, but he is the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, when the angel announced to the shepherds about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This is the heavenly announcement about our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord is this, my last point. I'm doing my best really to make my sermons very, very in brief, short, not to annoy you, okay? So I'm going in brief. We're just going to read those points. We will not explain everything in detail. So our Lord Jesus Christ himself manifested himself as God in flesh in his earthly life. So first of all, the New Testament was talking in many, many verses that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Logos. You know what is meant by the Logos? Basically and simply, the Logos means the mind of God. And from the Logos, Logos is a Greek term, from the Logos we derive the word logic. Logic is not an English term originally. It's from the Logos, meaning the logic, the mind. Our Lord Jesus Christ testified many times about himself that he is one with his Heavenly Father. He and the Heavenly Father are one. And whoever sees me sees the Heavenly Father, because they are one in essence. And you can read a lot about that in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, and many places. Our Lord Jesus Christ claimed many, many times in his teaching that he came from heaven. Before his incarnation, he was in the heavens. We know about our Lord Jesus Christ that he is omnipresent. What is meant by omnipresence? He exists everywhere. He was talking about himself. I am in the heaven, I am in the earth at the same time. And you can read about that in the Gospel of St. John chapter 3. In his conversation with Nicodemus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly life, proved himself as a creator many times. For example, when he converted the water into wine. From a chemical point of view, you understand that water is not wine. Okay? Wine includes juice, alcohol, a lot of things. So when Jesus converted water into wine, he created new substances. When Jesus gave sight to the blind man, he took some dust from the earth and he made like a paste of mud and he put it in his eyes, and in this way he got the sight, the blind man. So Jesus was acting as a creator. So he proved himself as a creator. Jesus proved himself as the life giver. In many, many times Jesus gave life. Maybe sometimes by word, by touch, or even just by his will. Okay? So Jesus proved himself as the life giver. Many, many times, Jesus proved himself as the forgiver. When he was dealing with the people, he was forgiving the sins. And nobody had the authority to forgive the sins except God. But Jesus proved himself as the forgiver of the sins. As you are seeing this picture, it represents the transfiguration on the mountain of Tabor, when our Lord Jesus Christ took three of his disciples, and he was transfigurated in the mountain. He manifested some of the glory of his divinity from inside his flesh to outside. And in this way, they saw him very bright, maybe more than the sun, and he was in absolute glory during the transfiguration, because Jesus wanted to manifest himself not only as a human, but as God in flesh. Also through resurrection, not only through resurrection, through death and resurrection, Jesus manifested himself as God in flesh. How? When Jesus faced the moment of death, he said a wonderful testimony about himself. What he said? He said, "I have the authority." He said, "I have the authority to put myself to death or not to put myself to death." No human being, not any of us, could say, "I have the authority to die or not to die." But Jesus said, "I have the authority. I am dying willingly, because I am dying instead of you, not because I am under the authority of death." And that's why Jesus raised himself from the death through the resurrection by his own power. Nobody raised Jesus from the dead. He raised himself up by his own divine power, because he is God in flesh, not just a human being. And after resurrection, Jesus manifested the glory of his divinity in his humanity many times. When he manifested himself to the disciples, and they saw him penetrating the wall, appearing and disappearing, going up in his ascension, going down, he is free to do whatever he likes, because his humanity was glorified through the power of his divinity. Our Lord Jesus Christ, through his teaching, manifested himself as the mighty God. He said about himself, "I will come in the last day to judge everybody, to give everybody according to his deeds." And the mighty God is nobody but God. But Jesus taught us that he is the mighty God, and he will come in the last day to judge and to give everybody according to his deeds. And also, Jesus our Lord, in many, many places of his teaching in the New Testament, he manifested himself as the eternal king. He is the owner of the eternity. And once he came in the last day, he will take us to inherit with him his heavenly kingdom. So, according to the, if I am saying correctly, according to the wishes and the prophecies of the very ancient philosophers, or according to the prophecies of the Old Testament, or according to the teaching of the New Testament, or according to the manifestation and the testimony made by our Lord Jesus Christ, we understand as Christian people that our Lord Jesus Christ is not a regular human being, but he is originally God, came to our land, to the earth, incarnate, became man, became God in flesh. He is a perfect God and perfect man at the same time, and He incarnates to save us from our sins and to give us His righteousness. Glory be to God now and forever. Amen.